Hello and welcome to Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez. This is a special program, the first edition, here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and we thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Dick Russ. More importantly, our special guest, Bishop Nelson Perez. Welcome to the program, and thank you for coming to the table with us, Bishop.
Thank you, Dick. It's great to be here on this at our Table Talk.
I wonder if you could please begin with a prayer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty and loving God, we thank you for this great day, another gift that we receive from you, an opportunity to experience your great love and the gifts you give us every day, and to be instruments of your love and peace and justice in the world around us, and a presence of the good news that you are, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people that we encounter. We ask you to bless us, to be with us, and to guide our conversation today as we explore the many wonderful topics and things we will talk about in your presence through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Here on Table Talk, we are going to explore various topics, as the bishop has mentioned in his prayer, of interest to not only Catholics, but all of us here in the greater Cleveland community, issues that touch on our civil society, issues that touch on our faith, current events, and so on, about young people. What we've done, and you have, you listeners to AM 1260 The Rock have really graciously responded, we've asked you for your questions, and we'll get to that later in the program. We had a lot of submissions, and we talked with Bishop Perez about these, and we've selected a few, and hopefully we can get to your question. If not, we'll try to get it on a future show, because Table Talk with Bishop Perez will be a regular feature here on AM 1260 The Rock, and we ask you to keep looking at our schedule online and on our app, and find out when it's going to be on so that we can keep this program coming to you, because this program and all our programs here on Cleveland Catholic Radio are brought to you by you. We thank you for your support. So, Bishop, it's been about 6 months now, and I wonder if it hardly seems like it because you've kept such a hectic schedule. 6 months roughly or so since your installation here in the fall of 2017. If you had to kind of summarize in a few words or thoughts, how would you characterize this first 6 months of your experience here in the Diocese of Cleveland?
I would say, I would use three words. I would say joyful, peaceful, and whirlwind. All at the same time.
And what has made it joyful for you?
What's made it joyful has been the wonderful welcome that I have received from my brother priests and deacons, religious, the faithful of the Church of Cleveland. I have to say they have welcomed me with open arms. Cleveland was not a place that I had been to ever.
What did you know about Cleveland, by the way, before you got here?
Not much, I have to say, not really. That, you know, I knew about the Cavs, and I knew about the Indians, I knew about the Browns.
That's a good start.
You know, I knew about pierogies.
That's a great start.
Yeah, that's a great start. And I knew that Cleveland rocks. I knew that. But other than that, I really didn't know much, and now I'm in the process of learning a lot, but it's been a joyful experience for me. I said to a journalist a few weeks ago, I was kind of asked the same question, and I said, I feel very blessed. You know, I have the greatest job in the world, you know, and would never want to do anything different than be a priest and now serve the church as a bishop, particularly here in the Church of Cleveland. It's been peaceful because my transition has been actually very peaceful. In many ways, there's a part of me that feels that I've been here a lot longer than 6 months.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
The feeling is just kind
of
there.
Yeah, well, that's the feeling inside of me as well.
It's the feeling on the outside as well,
yeah.
And so that's very interesting.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I've been here quite a while. It's only really been 180 days or just over that. And it's been a whirlwind, you know, because I do multiple things in a day, trying to see as many people and groups and parishes and as I can. A student asked me not too long ago, what's challenging? And I said time is challenging, because it feels like I'd like to be doing more, but then time doesn't permit that, There's only so many hours in a day and so many places that you could be at the same time. And I haven't mastered the art of bilocation yet, so I'm still working on that. But that would be a challenge, you know, the time to do what I would want, all that I would want to do. And also, it's kind of my nature, too. But then to be patient with myself and know that, you know, I'll be here for a while. I'm not going anywhere.
And we're not going anywhere.
Right.
And that's an interesting point, because immediately upon your installation, people were obviously asking you, can you visit us here, visit there? You had your own priorities. And if you try to, let's say, book the bishop for an event, whatever it happened to be, mm-hmm. you were booked up for 6 months already and you hardly even walked in the door. And, you know, you say whirlwind. I think that's a great term. What is that drives you to do that? You want to know about the people and about the diocese in the area? What is the compulsion?
Yeah, I've always been, my nature is to jump into things, uh-huh. you know, and when you're a type A obsessive compulsive, by and large, like I am, that's your nature. So I'm not an introvert. I'm an extrovert. So there's no merit on my part. It's just personality, character. It has nothing to do with merit.
And as long as you can do it, right?
Right. Yeah. Now I don't take care of my calendar. Mm-hmm. When I got here, they asked me, you know, well, how do you want to do your calendar stuff? And I says, well, what do you mean by that? I says, well, sit down and do the calendar. And I said, well, Bishop, you don't understand. In addition to what is normally there for a bit, confirmations, things that a bishop does, there's over 400 individual requests with everything from A to Z. So I said, well, you know what? You guys handle that. So I don't really get involved with that. I let the people around me who know the Church of Cleveland kind of discern that. If I see something that I would want to do, I just do it, you know, and then they have to deal with it. But I just do it. In particular, I want to be present to our young adults and our youth. So I see when things come across my desk, I might ask my schedule to be changed. I might pop in on things, sometimes unannounced, mm-hmm. you know, especially with youth and young adults or particular, you know, they have a special place in my heart in the church. And in that way, it's very freeing. On the one side, I don't have control over my time, but on the other hand, it's very freeing. So in, you know, by and large, I kind of go where I'm told through the calendar. You know, I just go where I'm told.
How much of that is the pastoral nature that you bring to this? Because you have been a pastor
a number of times. Yeah.
Some bishops from time to time in other places have come from administrative mm-hmm. slots or whatever. You have deep experience as a parish priest, as a pastor. How mm-hmm. does that fit into this pastor, shepherd?
If you're a pastor, you better be flexible and resilient, right? Mm-hmm. Because as a pastor of a parish, yeah, you have a fundamental skeleton of a schedule in a sense. But then each day is what happens in the kingdom of God. You know, you know that you have the 8 o'clock mass and you could plan things, but then life happens in the dynamic life unfolding of human life in a parish context. So you better be nimble enough to be able to move in those circles, because it does mean getting out of a meeting because someone's dying in a hospital. Yeah. And that's your priority. Your care of souls, that's why you're there. So it means that, you know, that happens, you go. And that, you know, happened to me a lot of times. So I kind of learned in pastoral ministry that part of giving your life to the Lord through the church means that you give. What does that really mean? It means that you give your time. Yeah. It's not theoretical. It's actually practical. You give your time. So.
Even maybe more so today, when a pastor may not have two or three assistants.
Absolutely.
That would be very rare.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you kind of learn that. It is parting. You know, we could all say, I want to give my life to the Lord. That sounds great. Put it on a banner. What does that actually mean, though? It means that you give. The only thing that we really have is time. That even though we always say, you know, we don't have enough time, But the reality is that as human beings, the only thing we actually do have is time. What we choose to do with that time is another question. Yeah. But we do have time.
At the outset, you said joyful is one of the things that you found the people of Cleveland. It's interesting because those of us who are from Cleveland or have visitors that come in, they say there is something about Cleveland people. They just seem friendly. You know, there's a different dynamic about them. And, you may look a little askance at that for a while, but after living and being here and experiencing that over and over again over the years, I think there is something to it. There's something good about the nature of people who live around here collectively.
You're absolutely right. Recently, I got a letter from a priest from Florida. He had been visiting Cleveland for medical reasons with family at the Cleveland Clinic. And then this guy was here in Cleveland and then went back to Florida. He writes to me saying exactly that. And I don't know this priest, never met him or anything, but he took the time to write me a full-page letter talking to me about how friendly people were in the street and how blessed I was to be in a city, in a local church where people were so incredibly friendly. He said he wasn't dressed in clerical garb or anything. He says, but people were warm and friendly, so much so that it moved him to take time out of his schedule to write me a letter to let me know how friendly and warm and welcoming people that didn't even know who he was or what he was there for were to him. So there is an objective reality to that. And as someone that came from outside the Cleveland area, I experienced that from the get-go.
Well,
from the get-go.
And we'll find out what some of those nice folks in and around the greater Cleveland area would like to ask Bishop Nelson Perez as we continue with Table Talk here on AM 1260. This is Dick Russ, your host, and our guest is Bishop Nelson Perez of the Diocese of Cleveland. He'll be with us throughout the hour here, and we thank you for listening. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more of Table Talk, including the questions which you submitted for the leader of the diocese. That when we come back with more of Table Talk in just a couple of minutes. And welcome back to Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez here on AM 1260 The Rock, a new first edition special program that will become an ongoing series here on your Cleveland Catholic radio station. Hello, thanks for being with us. I'm Dick Russ, your host, and our guest, as he will be regularly throughout this new series, is Bishop Nelson Perez of Diocese Cleveland. Your Excellency, thanks again for being with us. This has been a great conversation so far. You know, we left off before the break talking about your experiences with the people of Cleveland, how, I don't know if you want to use the word nice, but, you know, people from Cleveland are generally recognized as having a good nature, being welcoming, friendly, all that sort of thing. And we asked some of the folks as we, you know, prepared and advertised for this program, send us your questions. What would you like to ask the bishop if you had him sitting here at the table? Well, here we are with a nice cup of coffee and a little cozy setting here. And let's take our first question, if you'd be so kind.
Sure,
okay?
Absolutely.
This comes from Benny at a Westside parish. Now that you've been our bishop for about 6 months, what are your observations about the diocese? What have you found the most interesting or the most surprising? Bishop, what do you think? What has hit you as the most surprising and interesting here?
Well, it's surprising in some ways and not in others. People here in Northeast Ohio have very, very deep Catholic roots. It runs through the cultural vein of this area. The Catholic presence, the Catholic ethos, if you will, is present among the Catholic world and the non-Catholic world at the same time. And the bishop, regardless of me as a person, the role, the position of the bishop represents that church. It just happens to be me right now, but the role, right, the role represents that church. And it's been amazing to me how people are attracted to that role, to that position of representing the Roman Catholic Church, even if people might not even agree with some of the moral stances and and social positions of the church, there's something of a relationship with the church from the get-go. And I've seen it in the way that those who are not Catholic have also welcomed me and embraced me as well and sought me out. Again, to me, it's not a personal thing. 8 months ago, they didn't even know who Nelson Perez was. So I'm very clear on that. But it's the role of the bishop of the Church of Cleveland and the presence of that church in this area has been around for 170 years. So it's part of the fabric of the cultural, sociological life of this community.
That's a great observation. I think it's true that the, you might call it the legacy or even the patrimony of the Catholicism of this area is really, it's palpable. It really is. And it's a great observation that it's infused or suffuses into different aspects of even secular life.
Right.
You're right. The ordinary, the bishop of this diocese is, and what he brings is held in high esteem. That's a, it's a great observation. I think one that probably I hadn't come to mind, and I hope our listeners take to heart as well. There is something about being Catholic here.
Absolutely. It's an area where faith is present. So someone who came 6 months ago from outside and didn't know anything about Cleveland, just riding around, that's it, just riding around, what do I see?
Churches.
I see churches, and I see that healthcare is a big issue in this Cleveland area. So everywhere you go, there's some type of hospital or healthcare facility, and then you see churches. Catholic and our Protestant brothers and sisters as well. So it's a community where faith holds an important part, right? And there's a lot of real estate that actually exemplifies that. So if I had just one day and I came to Cleveland and I rode around and then I went back and said, what did you see? I saw healthcare facilities and churches, both of them dealing with the human person.
Second part of Benny's question here from the Westside Parish. Bishop, what keeps you up at night after the first 6 months or so?
I have to be honest, not much.
With a schedule like you keep.
Yeah, right? Not much. I sleep well. So as far as the reality of keeping me up at night, I have to say not much.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I think the challenges that we might be facing as a diocese, I think, are connected to the challenges of the church in general in this moment in time. You know, a world that is somewhat becoming more secularized and where at times we have to raise our voice prophetically to defend the sacredness of human life, the sanctity of marriage and family, values that we have held, forever as the church. And have been in the last several decades in our country, been challenged and brought into question or expressed in different ways.
This next question, and you earlier as we started the program, by the way, you're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland's Catholic radio station. I'm Dick Russ with Bishop Nelson Perez. This is our first edition of Table Talk, and we really thank you for joining us here. This will be a regular feature throughout the year on AM 1260. Bishop Arthur from Strongsville, picking up on the theme that you mentioned about your concern for younger people, what's your perspective on young adults and those who don't attend Mass regularly? How do you get them in a close relationship with the church and to develop a strong faith?
Let me first say this. One of the things that I have found here in Northeast Ohio, in the midst of the Church of Cleveland, is actually a very vibrant community of Catholic young adults that are searching, that are coming together, that are creating community and opportunities to encounter the Lord together and individually. And in the short time I've been here, it's only been 180 days. It's not long. You figure what the church, the Diocese of Cleveland has been around for 170 years. 6 months is nothing. And what have I seen already? Well, young adult, young Catholic professionals.
You attended one of their events.
I met with their board.
Yeah.
And was deeply impressed by not just the caliber of these young adults, but their knowledge of the faith and their desire to encounter the Lord and their desire to share that. I met with their board. Then I met with about 200, over 200 young Catholic professionals at John Carroll University. I was deeply moved by them, by their presence, by their joy, by their thirst. I've had contact with the Coalition of Young Adults. I'm meeting with them in April. I can't wait to attend, but there's a youth fest that takes place here in August.
The fest?
The fest they call it, right? I think at the seminary, that brings together 30,000-40,000 young people. What that says to me is that there's a great desire to come together as a Christian community, a great thirst for God. So while, yes, we could say, well, young adults aren't going to church, I can't say that completely either. That young adults aren't searching, I can say that that's the case, because I've also had the other experience that there are lots of young adults coming together to do that and to search. And yeah, I had the experience 2 summers ago to go to Poland for World Youth Day. France has the reputation in the world of having become a pretty secular place, where churchgoers are down to like in the single digits in percentage-wise. There were 2.5 million youth, young adults, a lot of young adults, in Krakow for World Youth Day and to gather with the Holy Father. The largest group from the world, right? The United States had a big group. They had about 40,000. Who do you think was the largest group at World Youth Day in Poland? France,
huh?
300,000. Something's happening.
It's there. So in the case of Cleveland, after you meet all these young people, how does the bishop and what he has at his disposal nurture, encourage, and support this faith as life, changes and maybe gets tougher, more challenging for these younger people as they grow up and have their own families?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing is presence, to be present for them. I can't change the world, but I could be present to them. I could be present to them, and through my presence, be a symbol to them that the church cares for them and loves them and walks with them. Some simple presence for them, and I'm trying to do that as much as I can, right now. Presence. Also listening. Our young people, our young adults, they have something to say, and we need to listen to them, listen to what's in their heart and what's in their minds, and to help them deal with their questioning, because that's part of being a youth and a young adult, right? You question the world around you, and that's a good thing. So I think presence, listening, helping them to process their questions, their questioning, so to speak, in the light of our faith and the revealed truth of the gospel.
You're listening to Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez here on AM 1260 The Rock. The bishop is answering some of the questions which you, our listeners, submitted prior to our program here. And when we come back, Bishop, we have a couple of more questions from some very young folks who I know you've been in some of the schools and elementary schools and so on, and a couple of young people have some questions for you. We'll get to those when Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez continues right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Hello and welcome back to Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, a special new program, the first edition, our first broadcast of this show, which features the Bishop of the Diocese of Cleveland, Nelson Perez, and we're grateful to you, Bishop, for taking the time out to be with us for this hour. I'm Dick Russ, and right now what we're doing is we're continuing at some of the questions that we have asked you, our listeners, to submit. We got to a couple of them in our previous section here. And Bishop, we left off talking about young people, young adults. We got a couple of questions from some real young folks.
Great.
This is from Bernadette, who's 10 years old, and she writes, Bishop Perez, how does it feel to be a deacon, then a priest, and then a bishop?
Well, you know, Bernadette, that's a great question. It's actually a very ecclesial and theological question.
We have smart kids.
We really
to this radio
do.
Station,
I was really impressed by that question. It's interesting because when I came to the church, you know, back in the early 80s, I didn't say to the church, I want to be a deacon or I want to be a bishop. What I said to the church was, I feel called to be a priest. That's what I said to the church. And then the church guided me to first be a deacon. And in a sense, he said, well, wait a minute, I didn't come here to be a deacon. I came here to be a priest.
As she has it, her wisdom for thousands of years.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's almost like the church saying, well, before you become a priest, you have to learn to be a servant. You have to learn to be a servant, which is what the word deacon means, right? Diakonia, the one who ministers, the one who serves. So before you represent Christ as the eternal priest, as the high priest, you have to learn how to be a servant. That if you're going to celebrate the Eucharist, you also have to do the other side of the Eucharist as well, which is the washing of feet. It's both. And you can't celebrate the Eucharist and be a celebrant of the Eucharist without having both aspects of it, right? I didn't go to the church asking to be a bishop either. And then the church turned around and in a sense asked me. I didn't ask them. They asked me. And the bishop, you know, the order of the episcopacy brings together those three dimensions of holy orders in the church, and the bishop encapsulates them together. So the bishop is, as Bernadette so well says, is a deacon, is a priest, is a bishop. And the church has taught that the bishop has the fullness of the priesthood, that Christ is servant, that Christ is the priest who offers sacrifice, that Christ is shepherd, is bishop, is overseer. The one, that's what the word bishop, episcopus, means, to be the overseer, and brings those three dimensions. And that is actually, when I was ordained a bishop, I dressed as a deacon, as a priest, and as a bishop. Like, people wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
But in my vestments, I had the vestments of a deacon underneath, and then a chasuble of a priest. And upon ordination to the episcopacy, then the mitre, the crozier, and the ring. So at a certain, and that will happen the day of the Chrism Mass that I will celebrate Holy Week. The bishop will dress using the vestments, the sacred vestments of all three orders.
The fullness of the priesthood.
The fullness of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, who is servant, who is priest, who is shepherd at the same time. And that becomes, in a sense, incarnated sort of in the role of the bishop, in the role of the bishop, who then has a role to be that servant, to be that offering of sacrifice, that sanctifiers, to be the overseer, has a governance role over the church, a leadership role.
And what I heard through the whole theme as you were explaining this is, it is not. I have not chosen you, Lord, but the Lord has chosen you. And
without a doubt, you know, I went to the Lord only wanting to be a priest. They're the ones who complicated it. I went to be a priest. They threw the deacon thing in and the bishop thing in later, but I didn't go like that to the church. I says, I feel called to be a priest, but the church says, but you'll first be a deacon.
When did you first feel the call? Bishop?
I felt it in different time, in different ways at different times.
Because you were in university studying philosophy, and then you went to teach for a while.
I studied
in Puerto
clinical
Rico,
psych,
right?
Actually, yeah. And philosophy. Yeah. So my background is clinical psych and philosophy as well. I taught, I worked at an outpatient psychiatric clinic. So I didn't follow, let's say, the traditional path of going into a seminary after high school or anything like that. You know, as a kid, I wanted to be a priest, but I also wanted to be a doctor and a football player and a basketball player and a fireman and a cop. Yeah. I wanted to be all those things, you know. But I have to say, from the get-go, as a little child, though, going to Mass with my family, everything that happened around the altar was mystifying. Mystifying. It caught my imagination. And it's almost like my eyes wanted to pop out at what was happening in and around that altar. The Eucharist was like a magnet. To me. No, it's really always been.
That's a gift from God, Bishop. Mm-hmm. Let's go to another one from a young person here. This is Kenny. He's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Kenny wrote in. He said, I've been thinking about our faith. How do we know our faith is the real one? Many other faiths practice theirs as deeply as us, and they think that their faith is the real one. Another great question from a young person.
Wow. Coming from a 12-year-old, that kid could be a theologian. So I thank Kenny for his great question. It's an incredible question that I think the world of faith, the faith people, they have been asking that question for a long time. But at the end, it really goes down to faith, right? It goes down to faith, and I could only speak for myself and obviously for most of the people that listen to us, that we have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and we have never been the same. But what else could I say? You could debate and argue all you want. Not any different than it was at the time of Jesus, right? And even before that, in the Old Testament times, there were many different gods. You know, people believed in a lot of different gods. And actually, you know, when God called Moses and to send Moses to Egypt and free the Hebrew people, Moses asked this voice that he's in communication with on the mountain, says, who do I say that sent me, right? Because there were lots of gods. So when I go to the Pharaoh, which God do I say sent me to do this? And if you remember, what did God say? God say, the one who is. Yahweh, mm-hmm. Which means the one who is. Like, there is no other. It is the sacred name. It's the name that Jesus uses to himself in John's gospel. I am. I am who am. Like, there is no other. And we have all somehow had an experience of that. That Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. And at the end of the day, our engagement with that truth is at a very deep level of faith of soul.
So, Kenny, thank you so much for the question. And thank you, Bishop, for the great answer. We have a little bit of time left. We're going to take a quick break now. Chance to get perhaps a couple other questions here and some other things we'd like to talk with Bishop Perez about. You're listening to Table Talk, a new program here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Dick Russ with Bishop Nelson Perez, and we're going to continue our conversation here at the table when we return in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for being with us, and we hope you stay with us. Welcome back to Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, a brand new show for you here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, in which we just, as the name suggests, sit down here at the table. We've got a nice round table, couple of cups of coffee here. I'm Dick Russ with Bishop Nelson Perez, and we're just conversing with all of you, our listeners, and we thank you for the questions that you've sent in. And thanks again, Bishop, for making the time to chat with our listeners here on Catholic Radio. We had, before we went to the break, a couple of questions from younger folks, age 10 and 12, and now we have some from parents of younger children, and here's what they wrote to us Bishop Perez. I was wondering what you think about the idea of moving the reception of the sacrament of confirmation up to maybe second or third grade. It seems the temptations faced by grade school children are getting more and more serious. It would be wonderful for them to have the help of the Holy Spirit to face these challenges. Traditionally, confirmation's 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and kids are maybe 12, 13, something like that. What about the idea of moving it way up?
Well, the first thing I would say is, in answer to that question, like, to have the help of the Holy Spirit almost makes it sound like they don't have the help of the Holy Spirit, right? And the fact is that the church teaches us that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism. You know, so at baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the theological virtues of faith and hope and charity. We are immersed in the complete life of Jesus Christ, in the complete paschal mystery of his dying and rising at baptism. And confirmation is what that word means. You know, it confirmare, it means to strengthen and to deepen, to seal, so to speak. But it doesn't, you can't confirm what you don't have, right? So confirmation is not like, now they're going to get the Holy Spirit. That's not what the church teaches. There is a truth, though, that, you know, traditionally in the church, you know, the original order of the sacraments was baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, especially at a time when there were adults being received in the church primarily. They were baptized and confirmed and received communion all at the same time, as happens today when adults, anybody actually, the age of 7 and up, is baptized. The church says they have to also receive confirmation and Eucharist in that order.
And as happens in the Eastern Catholic Church.
And it happens in the Eastern Church.
At chrismation, all
at
three.
At baptism, yeah. They are baptized, confirmed, and they receive Eucharist right at baptism. In the Latin rite, the tradition developed, the practice developed of baptism, first Eucharist, and then confirmation. You can have all sorts of theological and liturgical debates going back and forth, and they each have their merit. But I could only speak from a pastoral perspective as a pastor. As a pastor, I think there's a wisdom to having confirmation a little later in time. I've had the experience now as a bishop of confirming, you know, 8th and 9th graders and above. I could talk to them in a different way. And then I had the experience of going back to Philadelphia, where I served as a priest, where I confirmed 6th graders. It was different.
Mm-hmm.
It was really different. Those 2 to 3 year difference, there was quite a bit of difference with that. I think from a pastoral perspective, even, and I would say a developmental perspective, there's a wisdom of nurturing the faith over time. And then celebrating it sacramentally and liturgically.
That's a critical age right there.
It is a critical age.
That's a very pivotal age, especially in today.
Absolutely. And while there are lots of challenges in the world today for a second grader, listen, the challenges are quadrupled when they're 14.
Good question. Good conversation. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Bishop Nelson Perez here on Table Talk, a new program on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining in with us. We've got about 10 minutes or so left. Bishop, obviously our local Hispanic community has a special connection with you. Tell us about your experiences with the Hispanic community since you arrived.
Well, I've visited their parishes and their celebrations. They are obviously, you know, the Hispanic community is a gift to the church, growing by leaps and bounds all over this country. You know, I have a lot to say about that world because for the bishops, I actually chair the subcommittee for Hispanic Affairs for the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. Now in November, I'm going to be taking the role. I'm the chair elect of the bishops' committee, standing committee on cultural diversity, that looks really at celebrating the diversity, the Catholicity. Mm-hmm. Of the church. The Hispanic presence in the Diocese of Cleveland, we're talking about right now, I'm told about 130,000.
Yeah.
There's about 7 or 8 parishes where Mass is celebrated in Spanish. A great gift, you know, and the Hispanic community brings to the larger church in the United States a great sense of celebration, a profound devotion to the Blessed Mother, incredible family values, you know, very deeply rooted family values. And those are gifts of, you know, a love for the Blessed Mother. You know, there is no Latin American country where the Blessed Mother dressed up in the country's culture is celebrated in patronal feast. Those are great gifts for the church.
And I think they have welcomed you, Bishop.
Oh, yeah, and it's great. You know, I wasn't sent here to be a Hispanic bishop, and I always say that. Yeah. I always say that. I don't think there. When I said, "Well, what does it mean to you to be a Hispanic bishop?" I said, "Well, there's no such thing."
Yeah.
In the same way that there is no Irish bishop, there is a Catholic bishop who happens to be Irish, you know, and I happen to have a Cuban background. But my role is I'm a Catholic bishop for the church.
Bishop for all.
I have a particular ability to understand language and culture, though the Hispanic community is very diverse. Like, my parents don't refer to themselves as Hispanic. That's a word that's used here in the United States.
Right.
But my parents are not Hispanic. You ask them that, and this is, we're not Hispanic, we're Cuban.
Cubans.
In the same way that you wouldn't refer to yourself as being Anglo. Mm-hmm. Because you happen to speak English. But it's a great gift to the church, and they're a great presence for the Church of Cleveland.
With a couple minutes left, Bishop, I wanted to get to, you know, as a newsman, something that's been in current events, and I don't think it's going to go away for a while. Over the last few weeks, you know, Cleveland's been the focus of a national story, and that was the accidental destruction of hundreds of human embryos.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently unfertilized eggs at one of the local hospitals. From a Catholic point of view, and this really didn't come out originally in the early stages of the story, from a Catholic point of view, how are we to receive or analyze or react to such an event, which is, we've been around for since this technology was created. I don't know that I've ever seen this on such a large scale. What are we to think about it? What are we to say or analyze it? How do we approach it?
My first reaction is really great sadness, you know, great sadness. It's not just Cleveland, you know. I heard a story a few weeks ago that there was an issue out in the West Coast as well. So it's not just Cleveland. So it's great sadness. You know, the Catholic Church has always held that life begins at conception. So you said it very well. They are human embryos. They are human beings. Right, that somehow we've turned them into things. You know, would we take a baby that's just born and freeze them up if we could, because we can't deal with them right now, right? So we would be horrified if we did such a horrific practice that a child, upon just being born, the parents are not ready to take care of them, and we have the technology to put him in a suspended cryogenic hibernation until the parents could build up the funds to then take care of this kid. It's like we're treating life as if it was a thing, right? And that's what the church said from the beginning. And it says, wait a minute. Just because we could do something doesn't make it the right thing to do. And we have to think about these things. Here's now an example. And now, you know, in the last several weeks, you know, everybody's upset, and it's on television and all this stuff. To me, it's going to be very interesting as the legal process of that unfolds. Exactly what are they going to sue for? What are they going to make this? What are they going to sue for?
Initially, it was loss of property.
Wow. So that, you know, think about what that even says,
yes.
Right? So it's like, what's my property? I have a house, I have a car, and I have an embryo, you know, and I'm going to sue for loss of property. So it just even sounds off the wall, because it was off the wall from the get-go. You know, we started dabbling in a place where we weren't supposed to go. You know, it's the story of Adam and Eve all over again, right? Here's Paradise. Knock yourself out. Enjoy yourself. But listen, you see that one over there? That's not for you to go to. That's not for you to go to. That is a place of knowing what's right and what's wrong, what's good and evil. And you're not the one to determine that, to determine what is the truth. God, the Creator, determines that. And I think here's an example of us human beings once again, and we've done it over and over again, over time, unfortunately, forgetting that we're not the Creator, that we are the created. We are created. We're not the Creator. And that if God in His graciousness has given us power and freedom to do certain things, doesn't mean that everything that we could do is a good thing.
Sometimes it's very hard to restrain.
Right.
When you, quote, have the technology,
right.
People just want to forge ahead and use that technology.
And I would really say to all of us, including myself, listen to the conversation and how we talk about this. Loss of property. Really? That's what we're getting down to now?
In the legal terms.
In the legal terms, yeah. Wow.
I'm sure.
We don't have a legal construct, because the other construct would be they've killed human life.
Exactly.
They killed human, right. Which... from the church's perspective, that's exactly what it was about.
So who knows where, you're right, who knows where this might go if and perhaps when the conversation shifts to, these were my children.
Right.
And
there's inconsistency legally, right? A couple of decades ago, there was a murder case in California where I think a husband killed his wife who was pregnant. He was charged with 2 counts of murder.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. So help me understand that one. How did you get 2 counts of murder? How did that happen when we say that what's in the womb is not life? Why would he, if that is the case, and that's what some in the world say, that is not life, then why would that individual be charged with 2 counts of murder?
There are inconsistencies.
Inconsistent.
And we have a long way to go.
Yes.
Bishop, our hour is just about over.
Mm-hmm.
We graciously thank you.
Thank you.
For
thank
being
you. It's great to be here.
And before we sign off from this, first episode, first edition of Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez here on Cleveland Catholic Radio. Your Excellency, we would kindly ask you to give us and all of those listening your blessing.
Well, Lord, we thank you for this time together, for sharing our faith and sharing our journey. We ask you to bless all of us who have tuned in and their friends and their families, especially those who at this moment in their journey are in particular need of your graciousness, of your generosity, of your providential care. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bishop, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This has been Table Talk with Bishop Nelson Perez here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Dick Russ. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you the next time.